Hi folks, welcome to the Money 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 podcast. I'm Surabhi Upadhyay and we come to you every week with some very interesting conversations to help you get your personal finances in order and get smart with your money. Can you believe it? Another 1 year has rolled on and what a year it has been. Ending with the markets at all-time highs, with the economy at multi-quarter lows, the credit market doldrums that continue settled to an extent, and so many headlines in between. Amidst all this, it's also been a year of learnings when it comes to us, our money, our personal finance. And of course, more importantly, the question now is how to look out towards 2020, how to ensure that that is a profitable, wealth-creating year for you. This is the conversation that we have, and joining me for it are Firoz Aziz, Deputy CEO at Anand Rathi Financial Services, and Gaurav Mashruwala, Certified Financial Planner and Personal Planning, Personal Finance Expert as well. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining in. First of all, season's greetings to both of you. I really like these shows. It's a great time to throw back and also to look forward. So I want to get sort of your first thoughts. Firoz, when you think of 2019, what's the first thing that comes to your mind, whatever you saw with your clients at work?
So I think what I, if I throw back on 2019, one thing which comes clearly is that there are other risks than market risks. Which is credit risk. Mm-hmm. And credit risk's emphasis in the mind shares of investors was far lower before 2019. I think it needs emphasis, and I think that's one thing which clearly comes out. And in turn, a fallout of that is numerical measures to risks are something which are the need of the hour. And if somebody could focus on that, and two sides of the coins deserve both the respect, both of them deserve the right respect, risk and return. And that's what comes to my mind.
Numerical measures to risk. Firoz is always a numbers man. He will have his stats and he will have his algorithms to come up with the answers. We'll get to that in just a minute. Gaurav, your thoughts, 2019,
so
what does it stand for?
I'm not a numbers man. So for me, there's nothing new in this. In my last 25, 30 years of practice as a professional, these years and these cycles happen. We do see bad times, we do see good times, and when there are bad times, 1 or 2 years go by. The problem has, and it's not a problem, it's just that as a professional, it's just to handhold the clients and their emotions.
And Firoz, for people who invest in mutual funds or who even invest in stocks, and that was a big dichotomy, right? We're ending this year with the Nifty or the Sensex up 12-13%. The mid-cap index is actually negative. And that showed up in people's portfolios as well. So I think the first question that people have on their mind as they get into 2020 is, abhi mere mid-cap funds ka kya hoga? Will they start performing better? Should I change? Is it too late to change the allocation to large caps? What do you say to that?
See, I think I look for that answer from data. Ideally, when it comes to mid-cap and large-cap allocation, that's a constant question. You should look at how are they priced relative to each other. The valuations of mid-cap is generally higher than Nifty. Nifty mid-cap compared to Nifty, mid-cap needs to be at a 4-5 PE average, more valuation than Nifty. A year back, this had widened to a 25 PE, by which I mean if Nifty was at 26 PE, Nifty mid-cap was at 50 PE. That was an aberration. Today, the gap between both these is only 3 PE. So it is, the correction is behind us, is what I'd like to believe, because last 20 years, average valuations have been restored, point one. Point two, but the story of the small cap funds is a little different. Over the last couple of years, 1.5 years to be more specific, the regulatory change has ensured that participation in the large stocks has gone up. That is making sure that the institutional buying on the small cap segment has barely been there. And that's going to be rediscovering valuations there. So I'm not touching small cap funds from April 2018 because of the regulatory change of demarcation of large cap and mid cap. And so small caps are no-no to my mind. Mid caps, I think, have come back to fair valuations. Don't think they're cheaper. They're just at the averages of the last 20 years.
Okay, fair enough. So Firoz at least thinks that mid-caps will make some sort of a comeback. Now, the same question to you as well, Gaurav, and also from an asset allocation point of view, and I know it's going to be very, very specific to an individual, their age, risk profile, etc. But generally speaking, for a mid-risk or medium-risk investor, do you believe 2020 is going to be a good year to be in equities? And if so, what part of equities?
So for me, it's going to be based on what your requirements are. And you can't be looking at 1 year for equity. If you are looking at it, it has to be long term. Now, within equity, you will have an allocation, large cap, mid cap, small cap, and that you may want to change, because if for some reason the mid cap and small cap are not performing, you may want to increase allocation.
Feroz's list looks like, Feroz, go for it.
They're five funds. They're not just chosen on the past performance basis. So there could be some dichotomy in terms of why is this fund being recommended. There are tools available to project future performance as well. So on that basis, I would say Mirai Asset Large Cap, Invesco Growth Opportunities, SBI Focused Equity, Kotak Standard Multicap, and Kotak Emerging Equities. These five funds, as a combination, are a very diverse mix of mid-cap, large-cap, different sizes, the largest being 29,000 crores with Kotak Standard Multicap, to a smallest being Invesco Growth Opportunities, which just has 2,100 crores. So it's very, very diverse. As a combination, they work better. That's what maths teaches us, that you can, they are not mutually exclusive. They work in tandem.
So it's a portfolio that you've literally created.
It's a portfolio combination, which is...
I want to quickly go one by one to understand a little more about these funds. Let's start with the Mirai asset. And Mirai has been doing really well, actually, through 2019 as well. Most of their schemes performed well. Why is it that you like their large cap fund the most?
See, I've been liking Mirai for the last 5-6 years. Because the fund management team, of course, there's a change in the fund manager, but the CIO remains. So point I'm trying to make is the right to wrong ratio. Every fund manager takes decisions. If you go and analyze the 100 decisions taken and then figure out how many went right and how many went wrong, if some fund manager has taken 80 right decisions to every 100 he took or she took, then you know by design the fund manager is taking more right decisions. So the right to wrong ratio of Mirai as an asset management company is right up there. That's the key reason for Mirai to be in the portfolio. If you want me to go to Invesco now. So Invesco is a very good fund house from a bottom-up stock picking perspective. Their processes to pick up businesses irrespective of sectors has proved to be very good. So whenever you're looking at mid-cap funds, the method of analysis is to find out which were the best stocks and who in the fund management team picked them first. So if there were best stocks which you know of the past, if a fund manager picked them first in the mutual fund industry, he was able to smell those businesses far before the market realized they were very good businesses.
Are you speaking of Tahir Bacha in this case?
Yeah, absolutely. So point I'm trying to make is when you look at not just the fund manager, but the processes help you identify businesses much before. So that's the criteria on which a mid-cap fund manager should be chosen, because it's a very diverse universe. It's not so narrow like a large cap.
Now I want to talk about the focused equity fund and why a focused fund in the portfolio, because here you are taking on more concentration risk. So you have to be very sure, right, of the fund manager's capabilities.
Yes, so focused equity funds are a good replacement to PMSs. Because there are 20, 22 stocks. As long as there is concentration and also risk mitigants, there are focused funds which have a lesser standard deviation, which is nothing but a simple risk measure, lesser than several other diversified funds. So you can concentrate and still have a lower risk. It's a myth that concentration always increases risk. If you have concentrated stocks which are completely in different businesses, then you don't have so much risk. So for SBI Focused Equity, managed by R. Srinivasan, is one of the best fund manager, and he has managed the fund for the last 10 years. 10 and a half years. May 2009 is when he was appointed. It's a 5,600 crore fund. It's not a very big fund. And I think they have an absolute return strategy, wanting to double capital every 3 years. And I think he has done that fairly well and made monies almost 10 times in the last 10 years.
Kotak Multicap. This is a fund that's actually done well as well. It's a gigantic fund. I've heard you say in the past that if the fund is very large in size and there's an issue, perhaps that might impact performance. Does that bother you with the Kotak?
It doesn't bother me, provided the focus of the money is 29,000 crores. 75 to 80% of that is in large cap. Today, large caps are so skewed towards the top five stocks of Nifty that 45-50% is in the top six stocks. So when you have mirroring an index, you'll have large portions in these big market cap stocks. So size doesn't matter as much if you're in the large cap segment. So I would not be too worried. I think performance can continue, and the agility of the fund has not got impacted because of the size it has.
And which is the fifth one that I'm missing?
Kotak Emerging Equities Fund, which is from Pankaj Tibrewal. Mm-hmm. There also, I think it's not a very large fund, 6,100 crores size of the fund. And see, if you see the mid-cap funds chosen, they're smaller funds. Mm. The large-cap fund, the Mirai one, is a 16,500 crore fund. Mm. So in the mid-cap space, you don't want to exceed the five-digit number in crores.
Okay.
So that Pankaj Tibrewal, again, a very good stock picker. Mm-hmm. How do you identify a good stock picker? You just have to see which were the best stocks over the last 5 years. Whether he identified them early enough to claim credit that he has a nose to smell these business.
Well, gentlemen, this is the year ender, so we have to have a rapid fire. So here's a quick one coming up. The first question, the one personal finance habit that everyone must inculcate in 2020. Gaurav?
Go on financial date. Spend time with your spouse and family about 2 hours every quarter, eight hours a year. Mm. And ensure that your family is aware of all your finances.
Go on a financial date with your partner. Okay, that's quite some advice. Feroz?
Be strategic rather than transactional.
Okay.
Portfolio money is all about how each constituents work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing each product in its individual merit may not be the best thing to do.
The one money management mistake you must avoid every year, and if you've done it in the past, let's start avoiding it in 2020. One mistake to avoid.
Don't go by euphoria.
Okay.
Stick to your own requirement because your things don't change. If my daughter is going to get married in 2020, I won't go and tell her stock market is down or GDP is down, don't get married. So why go by that? Your requirements don't change based on external condition. Focus on internal conditions.
Okay, so don't get swayed by euphoria. The one mistake that you would want everybody to avoid?
Don't fall in love with an asset.
Okay.
All assets are meant for everybody at a point in time.
Mm-hmm.
People generally, if they're in love with FD, they're in love with FD till the last breath. And so is it with real estate or with any asset. Don't fall in love with assets.
Okay. The one PF skill or term or concept that every investor and saver must learn in 2020.
Make family budget and keep reviewing it.
Making a family budget. So keeping a tab on your expenses, income.
Exactly,
doing your own.
Because that's where you will know how much surplus you have, how much to invest, how much for contingency fund.
Learn your personal budgeting exercise. Feroz?
There's several, but I'll say probability vis-a-vis possibility.
Okay.
People generally want very high returns.
Mm.
They come with lower probabilities. Always big numbers in life come with lower probabilities.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to lose 20 kgs of weight, the chance is only 5% that I'll end up meeting my objective. If I want to lose 2 kgs, there's a 90% chance that I'll meet
the
objective.
You might do it.
Yeah, so focus on probabilities.
The one product which is available in the market, the PF market, that you must weed out of your portfolio completely.
Will not help me reach my financial goals.
Anything specific?
Because you could have different goals. Start linking it. Surbhi, what we actually do in real life is we said these are the goals, these are the investments, link it. If it can't, just throw it out.
Okay. Any product that you definitely don't want in portfolios?
100% is ULIP.
I knew that this answer perhaps would come through. Okay, so the reverse, the one product that you must have in your portfolio.
Definitely the Bharat Bond ETF, when it gets listed, it's a game-changing thing for the debt fund management of your own personal finance because you can trade in it. You can buy it irrespective of it having closed now on the exchange.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really hope there's liquidity. Bharat Bond ETF, lowest cost, highest tax efficiency. Mm-hmm.
The one product to watch, you think, in portfolios in 2020?
I would be happy if people look at Globe as their marketplace. And not just all of us directly, indirectly have all our entire asset side in a single currency called rupee. And that's very risky.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us and giving us some insights on how to manage our wealth and money in 2020. Season's greetings to you once again. And on that note, let me wish all our viewers a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as well. We always tell you to be prudent and cautious with your investments. And that applies to the road as well, because we tell you not to get hasty on the road either. Always follow the speed limit. Be the better guy. Network 18 and Hyundai initiative towards ensuring road safety in India. That's it on this week's podcast. You can catch the show at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays with repeats on Saturday and Sunday mornings only on CNBC TV 18. You can also find us on the CNBC TV 18 YouTube channel. Do send your feedback, comments, queries. Catch me on Twitter. My handle is @Surabhi Upadhyay. That's S-U-R-A-B-H-I. UPADHYAY. Don't forget to add the hashtag money. Catch you next week.